It's a brand new year, and there's a local nonprofit that we believe in their mission of creating more housing opportunities for people here in Connecticut who really need it. These are people who are working in our state, for example, who want to be able to live at least in or around the towns or cities that they work in. But they can't because it's hard to pay for it or there just aren't enough options. These are families that are aging and staying here in Connecticut, but they need to downsize or they need to be able to go to assisted living. Where can they go that it's actually affordable? And that term of affordable housing has gotten so tainted over recent years because there's such a housing crisis here and across the country. And so we want to talk about what this nonprofit is doing and has been doing for decades. Connecticut Housing Partners, and joining us to talk more about this, of course, is Renee Dobas. You are very familiar with Renee here on a monthly basis. She checks in to give us the very latest on what's going on with CHP and how this is directly impacting Connecticut residents. Renee, Happy New Year. Thank you so much for your time. How are you?
Very good, and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
I'm so glad to have you here, Renee, and I'm glad this morning that we're going to kind of take a closer look, really, at some concrete examples, for example, of people who have been directly impacted when they do get that housing opportunity. I mean, do you mind kind of kick-starting this a little bit and in giving us an example to start off with?
One thing I want to say is that I don't know if other people are noticing it, and maybe I'm just noticing it because of the business that I'm in, but homelessness is now becoming more in sight, more plain in sight.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, you know, we all knew that there was homelessness and that we needed additional housing, but you didn't really see it. Now I'm beginning to see it. So even right up the street from where our corporate headquarters are in Trumbull, you know, there's a commuter lot, and I'm noticing that people are living out of their cars in the commuter lot. So I actually approached a woman who was living there, and it's very dangerous. You know, she's been approached by men. The police are trying to shoo her away. They don't want her there. So then she has to move around with her car. And it's really a very difficult situation. And she's 61 years old. So she's somebody's mother. She could be somebody's grandmother. And so it's really a heart-wrenching condition. So anyone who's listening who happens to be experiencing homelessness, you know, dial 211, get yourself connected to a homeless shelter so that you can enter into the Coordinated Access Network. That's the program where they help house people who are homeless through the Rapid Rehousing Program. It's a really great program. It's a really important program. And my company participates, as other landlords do participate in that program as well. So it's really important to get connected to that.
And obviously, we do know that the state of Connecticut certainly has a focus on creating more housing, again, making it more affordable for the average Connecticut resident. But I do want to focus on CHP, because we do know, like many things in the state, while they have great intentions, it may not happen as quickly as we need it to happen. And there is an immediate need, as you just mentioned, Renee. It's so in our face. And the thing is when we talk about homelessness, it's not what people think they're looking at. We're not talking about the addict who's strung out on the streets or people who decided to not go and get a job and really create opportunity for themselves. These are everyday, hardworking Connecticut residents. These are people who are graduating from college and have to move into their parents' basement because there are no options out there. These are aging parents who need to downsize, but where can they go where it's a safe community and they can afford it after they've retired? These are everyday people in Connecticut who should have the opportunity to be able to afford living in a home. And so I want to talk about the goals for CHP and also sort of this mantra for 2024, making home happen. What can you tell us?
So you're absolutely right. You know, the state is investing millions of dollars into this issue, but, you know, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Connecticut Housing Finance Authority, they just issued a new report on the housing crisis in Connecticut. And last year we were talking about we were short 89,000 units. Now we're up to 92,500 units. And it's also recognizing that the housing crisis is creeping up and hitting the middle class. So this is the first time that has actually happened where they're able to measure that. And so And even though the state has a tremendous amount of units in the pipeline, about 6,500 units to be built in the next 3 years, if you're short 92,000 units, that's just a scratching of the surface. So what we're trying to do is really ramp up our fundraising. We don't want to just rely on the state financing and tax credits that we get, you know, through the federal government. We want to be able to ramp up our fundraising so that we can independently build properties outside of the governmental function. So we're starting to speak to area business people and, you know, with deep pockets to help us and try to create some kind of advisory council so that we can move forward independently of the state. We still work with the state. We always will. But we want to do it quicker and faster. So fundraising is going to be a huge factor for us. Another thing is that they have a housing commission right now with the state legislator, and they're trying to figure out how we can move this faster. So they're looking at some of the low-hanging fruit in regards to, you know, the productivity and some of the bureaucratic things that maybe can get pushed aside. They're looking at the state's land bank and if any of the land can be used to provide affordable housing. So I'm going to be working with them in tandem. I work with a group of other people who generate affordable housing. We get together monthly so that we can make sure our voices are heard, so that, you know, the legislative body is making good decisions that are going to help us in the process. Because, you know, sometimes legislators who don't understand the problem intimately, you know, there could be unintended consequences, mm-hmm. not done intentionally, but we want to make sure that they're educated. I actually am, you know, going to be speaking with the majority leader tomorrow to make sure that he understands the perspective of nonprofits and, you know, the struggle that we have in building affordable housing. So lobbying is going to be a big focus for me in 2024, only because they're actually paying attention to this problem, mm-hmm. Which, you know, is a moment in time that we can't ignore and we have to be able to jump onto.
New year, same problem. We're talking about the housing crisis here in Connecticut. And joining us this morning is Renee Dobas, who is the CEO at Connecticut Housing Partners. And if you are not familiar with Connecticut Housing Partners, CHP has actually been around for 3 decades, impacting lives all across the state of Connecticut. It is an award-winning affordable housing developer and property management firm here in our state, but also a nonprofit organization. So you can support their goal of creating more housing options in our state and making it more affordable for the everyday person to be able to live, work, and stay in the state of Connecticut. So Renee is here, and I wanted to share an update, or I'd rather have Renee do it, because she knows the story a lot better than I do. But you shared a story a few months back, Renee, that was really heartbreaking. And I think it's something that people need to hear, because sometimes we have this idea in our head of who are we talking about when we say affordable housing? People are thinking those who are not going out and trying to get themselves a job, those who have addiction issues and we're just dumping money into. But that's not the average person we are talking about. When we're talking about providing housing options that people can actually pay their bills and live affordably, I know I hate that word, but I feel like we have to keep using that word. That's not the picture we are talking about. And so I wanted you to give us a recap of Anne's story and where she's at today because of CHP.
Yeah, I'd be happy to share it. As a reminder, Anne, you know, she was working. She had a job. She was living in a basement that was infested with insects and mold and rodents, and she didn't have a shower, and it was just a horrible living condition. So this was an unscrupulous landlord taking advantage of her because she was earning $15 an hour, which in the state of Connecticut is considered a living wage. Then she got a raise and went to $16 an hour, and she called the state because she was trying to get some help on how to purchase food and how to, you know, get assistance with rent. And the state basically said, well, you're earning a living wage, so you should be okay. You should be able to live on your $16 an hour. So she was faced with that she had to get knee replacement surgery so that she could continue working, which is really important. And she was so afraid to recover in this basement environment. She didn't feel she would recover at all because it wasn't clean. She felt she would get an infection. So she was considering going to a shelter and then get the knee replacement surgery, which is not ideal either because, you know, you can't just stay in a shelter 24 hours a day. You know, during the day, you're supposed to leave, and it's really only at night that you're there. So I was able to get her housed into one of our apartments. She was delaying her knee replacement surgery until we could get her housed. So when we got her housed, she actually had the surgery. She emailed me earlier this week to tell me that she's going back to work. She's fully healed. She was able to celebrate holidays with her family. And her friends at work have been commenting and saying, "Anne, you're smiling so much now, and you're actually putting makeup on, and you just seem so much happier." And so, you know, having a home that is really your refuge and you feel safe in is the foundation to all other parts of your life. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, she's thriving with her health. She's thriving at work. You know, she's a happier person. She's making connections with her family that she couldn't bring her family to this basement, you know, to visit because it was horrible. So it's just impacted all aspects of her life. And she's just such a happy person now. And she's still the same contributing person in our economy and in our community mm-hmm. that she was before. It's just that, but her life has changed and she has hope. And that's what we all need, is hope in our lives. And she now has it.
And I think that's why very early on, Renee, because I think we made a connection, what, almost 2 years ago? I can't remember when we first met, but when we did, I was so supportive of your nonprofit because, again, I think that this has become a political issue, which to an extent I understand. I get it. But at the core of it, you are talking about a basic need for people. People yeah. should not have to be sacrificing their jobs or their schooling, for example, because they can't afford to live here. I mean, we are missing a huge opportunity of having some of the best workers come to this state because, A, there's nowhere to go, and, B, when they find where to go, they can't afford to live here. We shouldn't have people having to move out of this state away from their families or away from where they love to be because it's just so astronomical to live here or to have six roommates and really not get enough of a housing complex that really fits your needs or your family's needs. I mean, there are just so many stories that just Anne's alone we can connect to. People having a job, people finding it very unaffordable to live in today's world, let alone live here in Connecticut. So CHP is fulfilling that need, and they want to keep doing that. I will say, though, that you could play a part in CHP doing more for people by donating. And I want to just let you know, they have a website where you can learn more. You could chat with folks like Renee and understand what they're doing and all the partnerships they've been creating over 30 years across the state of Connecticut to make more opportunities for people to live here. CTHousingPartners.org is their website, CTHousingPartners.org, and you can donate directly to their cause. And Renee, I'm so glad that we have formed a friendship and a partnership, and I'm glad that you check in at least on a monthly basis because this is so prevalent. It's so important. And I think what your organization is doing is addressing a need quicker than, unfortunately, even our state can. So I thank you for that, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you. And also, if you want to hear Anne's story in our own words, the website will have that as well. So take a listen. And you also hear other stories of other people as well and some of their circumstances they were in. So, Melissa, thank you. I really appreciate that you give us the time to spread the word.
Absolutely, Renee. And I know we'll be talking again next month, unless something comes up ahead of time. And if you have any updates, please, you know, you can always come back on whenever you want. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Renee Dobas again, who is the CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners, an award-winning affordable housing developer and property management firm right here in Connecticut. It's been making an impact on our state for over 30 years, and it is a nonprofit organization. And so if you want to support them, again, go to cthousingpartners.org. You can learn more there as well.